Most of us have probably sat or stood underneath an oak tree on a sunny day, and as we stood there looking out, we could probably see the shadow of that oak tree. We wouldn't necessarily be able to see the acorns or the bark on the tree. We wouldn't be able to see the leaves on the tree. But as we look out, we would see the shadow. We really wouldn't appreciate the color of the tree, all of the little details by simply observing the shadow. We would simply see a basic outline of the tree. To really appreciate the tree that we're standing under, we would have to look up or look back and actually glance at it, look upon it. And when we would look upon it, we would see all of the little details. We would see the acorns, and we would see the color of the leaves, and we would see the bark on the tree. With that in mind, I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, because we see the same kind of terminology in Hebrews chapter 10 concerning the old law. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 1, we learn about the old law. And as you look at the old law here in this particular verse, the writer is speaking about the old law. In fact, as you go through the book of Hebrews, there is a contrast between the old and the new. The writer of Hebrews is establishing that we're not under that old covenant, we're under the new covenant. And here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, the writer is explaining the purpose of the old covenant. And the writer will say, for the law, the old law, having a, here's our terminology, a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Well, tonight as we consider the old law being a shadow, I want to mention four shadows for your consideration. The Old Testament, first of all, contained a shadow of remembrance. A shadow of remembrance. Now before we talk about all of the little details, it's important to understand the point that we're making. A shadow of remembrance. After God brought His people out of Egyptian bondage, we see that God would give His people a law, the old law, the Mosaic law, and that law would govern the Hebrew people, the Jewish people. When you turn to the book of Leviticus, you see that law handed down. That law was given by God, and we read about those different sacrifices. We read about how they would worship God. In Leviticus chapter 16, we read about the Day of Atonement. And this was important. The Day of Atonement would be special to the people of God, because in the book of Leviticus, we learn that we serve a holy God. We learn that God is holy. And so as you're thinking about the holiness of God and God being separate, set apart from sinners, how would an unholy people approach a holy God? Well, it would be through sacrifice. And so sin had to be dealt with. Something had to be done about sin. And so the Day of Atonement, which happened every year under the Mosaic Law, would be important. You remember on this day, there would be sacrifice. First of all, the high priest would step down and he would take off those holy garments. And all of this is recorded in Leviticus chapter 16. He would step down and number himself a sinner among sinners. He would offer a sacrifice for himself and for his household, and then he would offer sacrifice for the people. Two goats were taken. Lots were cast upon those goats, and God was very specific about what animals would be used in all of these sacrifices. And again, lots would be cast. The lot that fell upon the Lord would be sacrificed. And then we read about the scapegoat. And remember, symbolically removing the sins from the people. And so as you read about the Day of Atonement, this would happen every year. Sacrifice upon sacrifice. But here in Hebrews chapter 10, we learn something about those Old Testament sacrifices. We learn something about the Day of Atonement in Hebrews 10, verse number 3. But in those sacrifices, listen to the language. In those sacrifices that were offered under the Mosaic law, listen to the language, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. In those sacrifices, again, the writer says, there is a remembrance. It's interesting as you key in on that word, it helps us understand the context. It really helps us understand the logic that the writer is using as you consider that contrast between the old and the new. Back up to Hebrews chapter 8, and you'll see where I'm going with this. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, now here in Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse 12, the writer is talking about the new covenant that we're under. And Jeremiah the prophet spoke about the new covenant in Jeremiah 31:31 and following. And the writer of Hebrews is actually quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31. We're dropping down to verse number 12 where God says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I, here's our word, remember no more. Again, this is under the new covenant that's been sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Under the new covenant, through the blood of Christ, there is no remembrance of sins. And so as we consider our first point, the old law contained a shadow of remembrance. Under the old law, as those sacrifices were being offered daily and yearly, there was a remembrance of sin. Under the new covenant, in Hebrews 8, verse number 12, there is no remembrance of sins. The idea is that when we obey the gospel, when we contact the blood of Jesus Christ, well, let's be more specific, when we identify ourselves with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our sins are washed away. Just like Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Again, under the new covenant, when our sins are washed away, there is no more remembrance of sin. And that is, those past sins are cast into the depths of the sea. The language of Micah 7, verse number 19. That is such a comforting thought to think about our past being washed away. That is, we're not going to give an account of our past sins. And that was the good news. That was the message that we hear in Acts chapter 2 when those Jews who crucified Jesus asked the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter stood up and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. You see, we have true forgiveness under the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the old law contained a shadow of remembrance. Consider the second shadow, and as we consider the second shadow, these first two points really go hand in hand. The old law contained a shadow of sacrifice, and you'll see this if you would go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Remember, the old law and those sacrifices were a shadow of good things to come. The New Testament is the substance that casts that shadow. But those Old Testament sacrifices, as I said, they were only a shadow. They pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As you're looking and reading Hebrews 10 verse 4, those animal sacrifices were a mere shadow of what would come through the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. John 1 verse number 29. But while we're in the book of Hebrews, let's look at a couple of verses under this point. Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 11, we're really focusing on the sacrifice of Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 9, as we read, beginning at verse 11, once we get to verse 12, we're going to read about a beautiful concept. And see if you pick up on this. Beginning at Hebrews 9 verse 11, but that Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, very similar to what we just read in Hebrews 10 verse number 1, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered into once, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You can write down Ephesians 1, verse number 7. By the grace of God, we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We haven't been, Peter says, redeemed with corruptible things, with silver and gold, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the writer will continue to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 9, verse number 26. For then must He have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, speaking about Jesus, He did this once. He offered one sacrifice. But now once at the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin. Notice how. By the sacrifice of Himself. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We see that the sacrifice of Jesus would be the remedy for sin. Hebrews 9, verse number 26. Do you realize that the sacrifices of the Old Covenant, those animal sacrifices on their own could not perfect us? In fact, if you would, go back to Hebrews chapter 9, and notice with me verse number 13. Those sacrifices, animal sacrifices, were limited. In fact, we see this terminology, those animal sacrifices could only purify the flesh. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 13. For the blood of bulls and of but if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ? Notice the contrast. Who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, listen to this, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Do you realize that the animal sacrifices could not purge the conscience? In fact, you can back up to verse number 9 and you will see that. Those animal sacrifices could not perfect the conscience. But under the sacrifice of Christ, not only does the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus, remove the legal guilt of sin, but also the inward guilt, the idea of the conscience, the inward guilt of sin. Because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was a superior sacrifice. It's interesting when you look at the contrast. Those sacrifices, those animal sacrifices, the blood that was shed was only a shadow of good things to come, pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ that would wash away our sins, that would cleanse us, that would purge the conscience. Here's another interesting point. Hebrews 9, verse number 15. And to me, this really establishes the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, because the blood of bulls and goats on their own could never take away sins. And you see that also in Hebrews 10, verses 11 and 12. But read with me Hebrews 9, verse 15. And we learn something important about the blood of Jesus Christ. It goes both ways. That is, it flows both ways. Look at what I'm saying here. Hebrews 9, verse number 15. And for this cause, He, speaking about Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Occasionally people might ask the question, well, when those sacrifices were offered under the old covenant, did God forgive them of their sins? Yes, He did. In fact, you will actually find passages that state God was forgiving them of their sins. But here Hebrews 10 verse 4 tells us that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. That is right. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could take away sins. But here in Hebrews 9 verse number 15, we are seeing that the blood of Jesus Christ flowed backwards. That is, the blood of Jesus Christ perfected everything under the old covenant. It perfected every sacrifice that was ever offered under the old covenant. And based upon that reality, that truth, that knowledge that God had before He even created the world, He would forgive His people under the old covenant, Hebrews 9 verse 15, based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. The old law contained a remembrance. The old law contained a shadow of sacrifice. Under the new covenant, there is no remembrance of sin. Under the new covenant, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ perfected everything. Notice this third shadow. And most of this is coming from the book of Hebrews. The Old Testament contains a shadow of the New Covenant. Again, the old covenant, Hebrews 10 verse 1, was simply a shadow of good things to come. What is He speaking about? The good things. He's speaking about the New Covenant. As I said at the very beginning, the New Covenant is the substance that casts the shadow. The Old Testament, Old Covenant pointed to the New Covenant. In other words, the Old Covenant was only a shadow. It was only temporary. And we're going to establish that from a few passages. If you would turn back to the book of Galatians. As you study the book of Galatians, the book of Romans, the book of Galatians and the book of Romans are very similar to the book of Hebrews, dealing with some of the same challenges. Let's turn back to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And notice with me a couple of passages in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 19. As we think about the old law being a shadow, what was the purpose of the old law? Well, here in Galatians 3, verse number 19, Paul explains by inspiration why the old law was given. Paul says, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" It was, listen to this, it was added because of transgressions till, an adverb of time, till the seed should come. Now, who's the seed? Well, we understand that Jesus Christ would be the fulfillment of the seed promise. And so here in Galatians 3, verse number 19, we see that the old law was temporary. It was given for a period of time. And Galatians 3, verse 19 tells us why. It was added because of transgression. By Galatians 3, verse 19, I'm going to write down Romans chapter 7, verse number 7. And I like using the Bible in this way because I like using other passages to help explain passages that we might be studying. And in Romans 7, verse 7, Paul says, "I wouldn't have known sin except by the law." Except by the old law. You see, the old law defined sin, and the old law educated the people in what sin was. And Paul will go on to explain that in Romans chapter 7, 7 and law, and following. "I would not have known sin," and he'll use an example, "I wouldn't have known what covetous was except for the old law and God telling me in His law what it was." And so the old law, it was added because of transgression. Look at verse number 21. Paul makes an interesting point about the old law. Was the old law holy? Was the old law good? Well, yes, it was holy. And yes, it was good because the Mosaic law came down from God. It was given by God. In fact, Paul makes this point in verse number 21. If there was a law that could justify an individual, it would be the old law. The old law was that righteous and that holy. And so if justification came through law, it would be through the old law. But what was wrong with the old law? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 2 says that the law was weak through the flesh. What does that mean? Nobody could keep the law, the old law, perfectly. People would transgress against that law. And so the only way that the old law could ever justify, and God never said it would be through perfect law keeping. That's what the Pharisees were advocating. That's what they were promoting through their religion. God never said that the old law alone would justify anybody. And then he goes on in verse number 24 and he gives further explanation again of the old law. Remember what we said, the old law contains a shadow. And now Paul begins to explain that shadow. In verse 24, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster," other translations, "the old law was our tutor," and notice to lead us to Jesus Christ. Now, I love Galatians chapter 3, talking about the old law and the purpose of the old law. Helping people understand that the old law was temporary. The old law would be that tutor, that schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And we've already shown that with the first two points. As we think about the remembrance of sin and as we think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there were sacrifices under the old law. There is the sacrifice of Jesus. The sacrifices of the old law, they've been nailed to the cross. Colossians 2, verse number 14. We are not under the Mosaic law. It was only a shadow of good things to come. The old law serves as our schoolmaster. It points us in one direction. It points us to Jesus Christ. Let me give you another passage, if you would. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. And as I've already stated, when you look at the book of Hebrews, beginning at chapter 7, going through chapter 8, you're going to see that contrast between the covenants. There, under the new covenant, we have better promises. We have a better high priest. We have a better mediator. But listen to this verse. It's a powerful verse. Hebrews 7, verse number 19. Hebrews 7, verse number 19. For the law. Now, as I've said, we've already established that the writer's talking about the old law. The law, the old law, listen to it, made nothing perfect. But bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw near to God. The old law made nothing perfect. The law of Christ makes everything. The blood of Jesus Christ makes everything, as we've already established, perfect. The old law was temporary. The new law is permanent. In fact, we see that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. It's permanent because it's been sealed, not with the blood of bulls and goats. It's been sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Never forget, as you think about the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 28? This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of our sins. Do you realize as time continues, there will not be another covenant? There won't be another testament. We live under the new covenant. We are accountable to the new covenant, the law of Christ. We're not going to be judged based upon the old law. We're going to be judged under the new law. Somebody might say, well, so it's okay to covet, it's okay to steal, because the old law condemned that. Do you realize that you will see the same thing under the new law? In fact, a lot of people will talk about, you know, the Ten Commandments. Well, you can go through the New Covenant and you can find the Ten Commandments, but to really show that the law has changed, we see that we worship the Lord upon the first day of the week. We don't keep the Sabbath, which was part of the Ten Commandments. And so we are learning that the old law was a shadow. And we're talking about these various shadows from the book of Hebrews. Let me give you one more shadow. The old law contained a shadow of priesthood. And I know we've already mentioned this. We've alluded to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. But the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16, talks about Jesus Christ being our high priest. And when you get to chapter 5, verse number 6, we learn about Christ's priesthood, not under the Levitical system. In fact, Christ could not even serve as high priest under the Levitical system, Hebrews 7, verse 14, because our Lord sprang from the tribe of Judah. And those who served as priests would have to come from the tribe of Levi. And so Hebrews 7, verse 14, we learn that Christ came from the tribe of Judah. Hebrews 5, we learn that Christ's priesthood, this is an interesting one, would be after the order of Melchizedek. And we read about Melchizedek's priesthood in Hebrews 6, in Hebrews chapter 7. And again, the writer is showing that there's been a change of priesthood. When you go back to chapter 7, you'll learn that there's been a change of priesthood. There's also been a change of law. And we've established that. We're not under the old law. We're under the law of Jesus Christ. Here's a passage, though, as you think about priesthood. A passage that I want to leave with you. Hebrews 7, verse number 25. Wherefore he is able also, speaking about Christ, serving as priesthood, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. But there's the key. If Christ is going to save us, We have to be willing to come. And you know, in His invitation as priest, He offers every person to come. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus said, I will give you rest. You won't find that rest under the old covenant, but you will find that eternal rest in Jesus Christ, in His covenant. But we should be thankful for the shadow. And we should be thankful for what we learn from the Old Testament, because it really gives us a deeper appreciation of the New Covenant. It gives us a deeper appreciation of the promises that we have through Jesus Christ. The promise of forgiveness, the promise of a better hope, the promise of being with God forever. I hope we appreciate and understand the New Covenant, the covenant that we're under, but don't misunderstand the importance of the Old Testament. The law was a shadow of good things to come. I do thank you for your kind attention. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.